Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text is the gospel lesson as just read. Please be seated. Saint Simon and Saint Jude are not exactly well known. We really do not even know their names exactly. Simon is sometimes called the Zealot. Other times he is called the Less. You can almost hear it, Simon, not Peter. Jude is sometimes called Thaddeus. He may just be the author of the epistle just about as long as Philemon. Tradition has it that he was the first of a, these were the first of a very long line of martyrs in Iran, numbered Apostle 10 and Apostle 11. When people in the Middle Ages approached the saints with various petitions for assistance, they went all the way down the list, and not quite sure of Jude, because it kind of sounded like Judas, they went to him very, very, very last. He was the patron saint of lost causes. For those who think that they will leave a mark on this world, accomplish something that changes the world and leaves it a little bit better than it was before, it's a fair remember of the likelihood of that to remember Saint Simon and Saint Jude. But when someone does ask you, who are you and why are you here anyway? There is a real answer to that question, and it's a comforting one too. You see, who you are is a friend of Jesus. Jesus chose you to be his friend, and it was just not a come lately kind of thing. Before he made the world and laid its foundation, he loved you and cared for you and set forth with great resolve to come and to die for you so that you might be saved. When you were lost, he sought you, leaving the 99 behind, looking everywhere for you until he found you and brought you home. For that, your brothers and sisters, your mothers and fathers, your pastors and teachers all rejoiced as the waters of baptism were poured over you and you were received as a child of God and a friend of Jesus. You are Jesus's friend not because that was something you decided that you would do. Hey, that would be a good idea. Think about the name dropping. You know, I'm Jesus's friend. It's because he called you to be his friend. He called you in the waters of holy baptism. He has strengthened you day in and day out, week in and week, through the sacraments of Holy Communion and your remembrance of your baptism. He strengthened you through his word and the preaching of it, through the teaching by parents and Sunday school teachers and all those who have worked to it, and yes, even seminary professors. He has called you, or will call you in addition soon, to a life of service, to love each other as his pastor, as a pastor and a servant of his, or as a deaconess called to bring his mercy to others. He has called you and will call you and will be with you all the days of your life. And no matter what happens, that will never change. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but his words will never pass away. Jesus calls us then as his friends to do what only a good friend would do, and that is to keep his commandments. The greatest of these is to love one another. That's a lot easier to say than it is to do, though, isn't it? Our world urges us first to serve ourselves, to make something of ourselves, to take things to ourselves that we want. They ask our opinion in all kinds of lengthy conversations and great surveys conducted, especially every 4 years at this time. They want to know what you want. You go to the store and you find a dizzying array of choices that you can make so that you can take just the things that cater to yourself. We are lured to satisfy our hungers, and we're told that if it feels good, you really ought to do it. After all, that's what it's all about, to seek after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, isn't it? And if you're not happy, by golly, do something about it. It is your right to be happy. We are taught to despise the commands of Jesus and the commands of our Father if it gets in the way of our true feelings. If we want something that we are told is forbidden, no problem. Jesus will just have to accommodate us in our choice. If we'd rather fall in love with someone of our same sex, by golly, it feels good. What's wrong with love? If we're tempted to go for someone that's not our spouse, well, you know, you don't love your spouse anymore, but you love this young thing. Why don't you go for him or for her? If you're uncomfortable with the reality of who God made you, that you are male or that you are female, that you are tall or short, or that your hair color is the wrong color, by golly, you want to? Go ahead and change it. The rest of us will just have to adjust. We are taught that we should act upon our impulses. The problem is when we act upon our impulses, things don't always go the way we would think. Sure, for a brief shining moment, we might enjoy ourselves, but then the world around us begins to collapse. Either we need more of what we thought we needed, or it doesn't seem to satisfy us. People around us deal the consequences of our decisions and our mistakes upon us as if, by golly, there was something wrong with what we did. And soon we discover one after another the people we thought we could depend upon are no longer there for us. The moment you run out of money, the moment you run out of good things you can give to someone, then those people who are providing these goodies for you seem to just evaporate, don't they? They're really not your friends in the first place, even though you might have thought that they were. And the result is you find yourself isolated from the people who said that they were for you, from the society that told you to seek after your things that has no use for you now that you're too old or too decrepit or too small to be of any consequence to the world. They have abandoned you and set you aside as if you were yesterday's trash. This is why God asks us, as his friends, to love one another. Because the world is not about loving ourselves. It is not about what we are to do or revolves around us, because we are mortal and sinners, and we will sooner than later, mostly sooner, pass away. It is about Jesus and what he has done for us, our friend, the friend of sinners, our God and Lord, who, setting aside all that he had, walked the way of the cross for us. Why did he do this? Because we're some great, wonderful, super Christian, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than 1,000 demons, able to lift tall burdens with a single prayer? Not a chance. It is because he loved us and cared for us and could not imagine not living with us forever. And so he put aside all his power and glory that he had a right to and went the way of the cross, suffered, died, and rose again from the dead so that all of our sinfulness and all of our selfishness could be nailed to that tree and a new person arise within us who loves God and each other and seeks only to serve. Now, because he so loved us, we find that we love him and love others too. Because he called us to do that, we want to care for each other, to be by each other's side, to be his hand when people need to be lifted up, to be a friend of someone when they are not particularly lovable, to be there when they need us. Because he loved us, we now love one another. That is why we dedicate our lives to serve others. Because in answer to his call, we seek to be those that he sends, to be those who will bring others to him, that will stand by them in times of trouble, and that will assist them so that the day will come that they will join us when all of God's friends gather at the marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.